Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, our Palm Sunday King and King forever, Jesus the Christ. Our sermon text this morning is the Gospel text from St. Mark, beginning in chapter 11 with the first verse. And I would invite you to rise now for the reading of the sermon text. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Through them, we ask that you would set us apart from this world, so that we might know your Son, that he is our King forever and ever. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. And you may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, the Kraft Heinz Company says in their 1995 commercial that Philadelphia cream cheese is what heaven is all about. Puffy cotton clouds and harps and Philly cream cheese. How boring. Even if you like cream cheese, that's a pretty boring picture of heaven. Some people think that heaven is going to be pretty boring because it doesn't have Xbox and Nintendo. Many people joke about hell being better because there at least you get to do what you want to do. The idea of worshiping God, floating on clouds, boring. Sadly, some of these misconceptions and ideas keep people from praising God on earth. It doesn't take much for people to stay away from church. And COVID's been the ultimate reason. Some think that church is boring. Some think that churchgoers are bland or maybe rude and judgmental. Some are just plain lazy and prefer that massive 72-inch, I don't know what the size is now, but that massive television set in the game on Sunday. This morning, though, we are gathered here to think about Palm Sunday, and it's one of the greatest days for celebrating and praising and worshiping the Lord. It's also a day for learning what praise and worship really are And trust me, it has nothing to do with Philly cream cheese. On the first Palm Sunday, Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem. To do this according to the prophecy given through Zechariah many years before, he would need to be riding on the back of a lowly colt, the foal of a donkey. And so he sent his disciples to the villages around Jerusalem to find a colt, the colt that God had brought to that exact moment in time and place for his son. And they were to take it, and if asked why, to say that the Lord has need of it. And the disciples did, just as Jesus instructed them to do. And to their amazement, they found things just as he said they would be. Their obedience was enthusiastic praise for their Lord. And the reason I say that is because praise means to say that someone has done something right, something good. The believer's obedience is praise for many reasons. Jesus' triumphant march into Jerusalem is against the backdrop of praise and hype. His humble and royal entry on the colt draws all attention to him as the king. And the believers in the crowd, their praise was genuine. And from those who were just caught up in the moment, well, it was just hype. But this morning we want to pay attention to the praise. And we want to praise him too this day. Now don't get the impression that praise is just confined to a building like this. The reality is praising happens outside this building. The events of Palm Sunday didn't play out in a church, but along a road. The praise took place before a triumphal march with singing and the spreading of palms and cloaks on the roadway. The first praise recorded that day came when the disciples obeyed Jesus' command and went into Jerusalem went into the villages around Jerusalem to find the colt for him. And they did this without question, willingly and happily. And their obedience was high praise, enthusiastic praise for Jesus, because they trusted him. They believed that what he said was truly best. Now, praise means more than just saying, "Thy will be done," while we're in church. True praise means that we recognize his word and his will wherever we go, wherever we are. True praise means hearing God's wisdom and trusting his love that he says he has for us. No matter what we're seeing and experiencing in the world. The people around us, the world around us, the unbelieving world, doesn't give Jesus that kind of praise. Doesn't say God does everything right. At best, it can make a stab at looking something like it with some hype, as though Jesus were some sort of celebrity. But there's no trust there. There's no love, no careful listening to him. The world doesn't pay attention to his word, doesn't trust him. Questions how God can allow such trouble to come into our lives at times. The feminist movement in our country accuses biblical Christendom of promoting the patriarchy because the Bible says that God identifies as a he. Think about the irony of that for a second. They cannot believe that he created man first and then woman. They will not accept that God has a plan for marriage and for his congregation that includes male leadership. But our praise of the Lord thanks him. and recognizes his plan and loves him for it and seeks to do his will. The world around us twists the idea of making offerings and sacrifices unto the Lord. And who can blame them? When you turn on the TV and you see these unscrupulous televangelists promoting such hype for their own profit. And many in our country cling to their money and goods as though it was their life, even their God. But Christians praise and thank God for the blessings that He has given them to carry out their life, to discharge their duties in His kingdom, to serve others with gladness. Offerings and sacrifices are high praise for our King. The crowds on Palm Sunday were not tight with their praise of Christ either. Their hands were lavish with praise. The man gave his colt. The disciples took off their cloaks, and that's about all they had, many of them, and put them on the donkey. Others praised the Lord with their cloaks on the road or with waving palm branches to remember the victory that they had celebrated in their country much earlier when Judas Maccabeus had recaptured the city of God from the pagans. That's how they wanted to celebrate the King's arrival. Yet here we sit on this Palm Sunday some 2,000 years later. And I ask you, have we resolved in our hearts to be lavish with our praise of God out there in the world? There are souls dying all around us, many going off into an eternity of condemnation without a living trust in their Lord and Savior. Missions are closing. Churches are closing. Our congregation's commitments to the work faltering at times. Men are not stepping up to lead in our congregations. Make no mistake about it. God's kingdom is coming. Eternity is coming. So I ask you, where are our priorities? Are our hands lavish with praise, or do we clench tightly to the things of this world, whatever little we might have in this life? Can we give up our cloaks? Can we follow the Savior as He makes His way to the cross? If we don't know Him and trust Him as our King, then we will not. We'll be caught up in the idolatry of the world, calling the created things God. Our offerings will be to that idol. And in case you haven't noticed, the world and all created things are fast falling apart. So I ask you again, does our praise proclaim our Savior? Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna," which means, "Lord, save us." "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." When the praise of our obedience and the praise of our hands in our support of his work is there, the praise of our mouth will follow. Enthusiastically, joyously, happily. Now, there was no printed bulletin for the crowds to follow that day, no rehearsed choir. They didn't object to the dull and boring nature of praise. They didn't refuse to praise the Lord because there were no drums or guitar or light show or grandeur of the temple. The people praised the Christ, the Son of David, even when they weren't in church. And here today, how much more do we want to praise the Lord with all that He's given to us? Think about it. We have this building. We have 2,000 years of heritage, hymns, new and old, and technology to make his praises known far and wide. Give praise to him. Share the good news with everyone you know. Tons of resources that we have available to us to do that today. Give praise to him and share the good news with everyone. Let us work together to share that good news so that Jesus isn't portrayed by the world's fickle hype, but with the steadfast and powerful praise of our King in word and sacrament. Let his word be known. Let it be heard here. And let our praises issue forth from here, but also at our family tables, our gatherings, in our community, and however we are individually able to share the gospel. Real religion that praises the only true God isn't anything, is anything but boring. We can't stand by this Palm Sunday morning or any morning and let this just be hype. Heaven's not cheese. We're here to listen to our God and to praise him. We're here to join our efforts and resources to make him known in this dying world, because knowing him is eternal life, so that people may be saved for real life, eternal life, in the presence of the infinite God, full of love and wonders without end. We're here to recharge. We're here to remember our humble King riding to the cross to save us from our sins, to give us real life. And we're here to reinforce one another with the truth that God, everything God does, is right and true. And so we in turn will carry this truth out into the darkness of this world like a light. A light for our path. Praise be to God, our King. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.